Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now for a brand new series of episodes entitled Winning Your Children to Christ. Today is part one. I was doing some quotes for today's articles and came across a Spurgeon quote from Morning and Evening, in which he said, "You may speak but a word to a child, and in that child there may be slumbering a noble heart which shall stir the Christian church in years to come." And it was just a simple little thing there. Speaking a word by itself probably would not necessarily alone be a huge deal breaker. But combine words and training and teaching, and you really are training your sons and daughters to have an impact in Christianity for years to come.
Yes.
So it's very powerful, and moms and dads, you are very important. That's for sure.
Yes.
And then here's one from his book, John Plowman's Talks, or Plain Advice for Plain People, I think is how he would have said it. This is a great little quote. "If we never have headaches through rebuking our children, we shall have plenty of heartaches when they grow up." And that's kind of brutal, isn't it?
It is.
Headaches. And you moms and dads that are in the middle of training your children, you can sure get headaches from all the effort.
A lot to do.
The work, the training, the correcting. But it's better to have a headache now than to have heartaches in the years to come.
Yes.
So that was a really good quote.
All of our training is eternal in value because it's doing something for the future. It's not just for today. And so many times we get caught up in the busy here and
Absolutely.
Now. Yes.
So let's jump into today's topic. We're still talking about training. Family success titling this. But today we want to talk about winning your children to Christ, teaching the gospel.
Very important.
And trying to see your children saved. And specifically, we're talking about winning your children in your home.
Right.
You may have kids that are grown that, they're adults now and they're not saved. We'll talk about that either next week or the week after that. So we're not going to leave you hanging on that. But our primary focus in this one is how do you lead your child to Christ when they're young? We're talking even 7, 5, 6, 7, 8, so forth. We're talking about when they're young.
Little ones.
And certainly if you have teenagers and junior hires that aren't saved, we're concerned about that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So, let's get started by just sharing some quotes here from a variety of places. And of course, we have several from Charles Spurgeon, John Adams from the 1800s. We have one from 1699 from D.L. Moody. There's quite a few here. Start us off there, sweetheart, with the ones by Spurgeon.
All right. Let's see here. "When fathers are tongue-tied religiously with their offspring, need they wonder if their children's hearts remain sin-tied?"
That's from the Treasury of David, and that's quite a quote there. And dads, I'll just say that sometimes as dads, we leave the religious training up to moms, but there's no doubt if you're a New Testament reader, you're aware that repeatedly the Bible points out, daddies, you're responsible, daddies, you're important, you're vital.
Yes.
You can do great harm, or you can do great change in the hearts of your children.
Yes.
So that's a really good one. How about the next one here? This one is from Mr. Spurgeon's book called Come Ye Children. It's about training workers for children. But listen to what he says here.
"A child of five, if properly instructed, can as truly believe and be regenerated as an adult."
That's a great quote.
Yeah, I like that
one. And we'll come back to that one in a moment because I'll have Bethley give her testimony to you guys. And Bethley's testimony is an illustration of that very quote, that if you're properly instructed, then a child can easily believe and be regenerated. And we've seen that in our own children as well.
Yes.
And here's quite a long one by John Angel Adams, The Christian Father's Present to His Children. This is from 1825. Read this quote right here.
Okay. "The man who does not make the eternal welfare of his children the supreme end of all his conduct towards them may profess to believe as a Christian, but he certainly acts as an atheist. It is in the highest degree inconsistent, absurd, cruel, and wicked for a Christian parent not to be supremely desirous of the everlasting welfare of his children. Let a supreme concern for their immortal interests be at the bottom of all your conduct and be interwoven with all your parental habits."
That is a loaded
excerpt,
isn't it?
It is loaded, but it's amazing. It's wonderful. Really is.
And so I would just ask you moms and dads to stop for a moment and think, are you concerned about the eternal welfare of your children? And are you really working toward that end? The everlasting welfare, do you desire that for them? Yes. Do you have a supreme concern for their immortal interests at the bottom of all of your conduct? And is that interwoven with all your parental habits? It's old English.
Yeah.
But what a powerful
quote. Well, it's convicting too. And all of our children have accepted the Lord, but it is convicting because at the end of the day, have we done anything to spiritually grow our children?
Yeah, it is convicting.
When you're all caught up with making sure that they are fed and that they are safe and that they get to the basketball game on time or whatever, get their schooling done. Have you done anything to further the cause of Christ in their little hearts?
Yeah. I put the next one in here because it is worth thinking through. Mr. Spurgeon says a child can easily be saved as young as the age of 5. You'll find out when Bethley gives her testimony that she was saved at the age of 4, as were several of our children. And here is John MacArthur's take on it in his God's Pattern for Parents, Part 1. Listen to this quote. Read that one for us, sweetheart.
Children cannot be saved until they're old enough to understand the gospel clearly and embrace it with genuine faith. But you start as soon as you can, teaching them, and God knows when that heart readiness has come. People always ask me, at what age? It's different for every child and different in every circumstance. But they do need to be mature enough to understand sin and righteousness, to understand repentance and faith, to understand punishment. They need to be old enough to understand the seriousness of their sin, the nature of God's holy standard. At what age? It varies from child to child. But at the beginning, you just start teaching and teaching and teaching. And as they develop that understanding, God will work his work when they reach the point of comprehension.
That's a loaded statement as well, but it's a good statement in the sense that it reminds us that what we're talking about today is important. Our children's salvation will be greatly affected by our teaching.
Yes, we do need to be teaching.
We have got to be teaching, and don't hear from that well, we don't want our children to be saved too young. Don't hear that.
No.
Because he's very clear here. The Bible never gives an age, although Jesus is very clear that we should permit the little children to come unto him.
Yes.
And he even says very clearly that if an adult's going to be saved, he has to become like a little child to be converted. So Jesus mentions repeatedly the salvation of children. And Mr. MacArthur here is not undermining the salvation of children. He is reminding us that we've got to continue to teach them and teach them and teach them.
Right.
And he may go a little further than we do in some of these areas. I don't know that I understood repentance and faith when I got saved.
I'm sitting here thinking, do I understand the nature of God's holy standard fully as a 50-year-old woman?
Yeah, I'm not sure
having
that any
been
of us
saved
do.
For
so
many
some
years.
Of this, some of this would certainly be part, we'd be like,
And I'm certainly not trying to belittle Mr. MacArthur at all. He is a godly man.
No doubt about that. Just a few things there I would point out of maybe an area where we would disagree.
Right, but the point of it being
Teach
your children because they do come to an understanding, and we'll talk about that. Yeah. You will know.
The point I got from his quote is that God uses our teaching of our children, the gospel and the truths of God's word to bring them to the understanding of salvation.
Absolutely.
That's the point I got.
Yes.
How about this one, I'm assuming that's Cotton Mather or Mather.
Cotton Mather.
This is from 1699 from it's called A Well-Ordered Family. So read this little quote.
Wrestle with the Lord, accept no denial, earnestly protest, Lord, I will not let thee go unless thou bless this poor child of mine and make it thine own. Do this until, if it may be, your heart is raised by a touch of heaven to a belief that God has blessed this child, and it shall be blessed and saved forever.
That one just made me smile because it's so different from the way we would talk.
Yes.
But it's a good reminder there. Moms and dads, take it seriously. Wrestle with the Lord, he says.
Yes.
Earnestly plead with the Lord is how we would say it.
Pray
and
about
pray,
your children
pray,
being
pray,
saved.
Pray. Absolutely. Yes. How about D.L. Moody? This is a good one.
It is a masterpiece of the devil to make us believe that children cannot understand religion. Would Christ have made a child the standard of faith if he had known that it was not capable of understanding his words?
I like that one.
I do too.
I love the simplicity of Mr. Moody. And he always puts the cookies on the bottom shelf where just anybody can reach up and grab them. Here's J.C. Ryle and his little booklet, The Duties of Parents. Listen to this one.
To love the soul is to really love, to pet and pamper and indulge your child as if this world was all he had to look forward to, and this life the only period of happiness. To do this is not true love, but cruelty. It is treating him like some beast of the earth, which has only one world to look to and nothing after death. It is hiding from him that grand truth, which he ought to be made to learn from his very infancy, that the number one goal of his life is the salvation of his soul.
Now that's a powerful quote. In fact, if you've never read his little booklet, The Duties of Parents, I strongly recommend it. It's old English a little bit and a little dated in a few areas. But the truths behind it, the principles from God's Word, are really, really amazing. He says here that if I fail my child in this area, that's cruelty. Mm. That he's more than a beast of the earth. And it's a grand truth that we ought to teach him from his very infancy.
Yes.
So moms and dads, if you haven't started yet, get going. Because the number one goal of his life is the salvation of his soul.
Yes.
And that's just a really great one. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our episodes entitled Winning Your Children to Christ. Join us next time as we continue our conversation.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.